Barbarian tribes of Rome. The Germans. The Germanic religion. A description of the religious ideas and practices of the Germanic peoples during the Iron Age is more difficult now than it was a few years ago. It's difficult enough formerly when distinctions had been made between that which was native and that which was regarded as having its sources in classical antiquity, or for that matter, in Christian religion. These difficulties still exist, but in addition, the new interpretations of cult symbols has added another complication to an already complex problem. A distinction should be drawn between the religious belief of the German people and their human relations, customs, and practice. There is no necessary relationship between ethics, that is a code of moral conduct, and religious belief. Such connection is or was by no means universal, although many religious organizations have attempted to base the one upon the other. In this restricted sense, religious beliefs deal with the individual's concept of some mysterious power, his attitude towards death and survival, methods of burial, ancestor worship, methods of appeasing or indicating gratitude to these intangible powers. It has been made very clear by Schneider that fruitful suggestion for the consideration of the problem of Germanic religious belief. He has compared it to a two-act drama with a prologue and an epilogue. The prologue takes place during the Bronze Age and the pre-Roman Iron Age. The first act begins about 100 BCE and continues for several centuries. Then there's a long pause. The curtain falls for half of a millennium, and when it rises again, we are in the Viking period for a few more centuries for the second act. The epilogue, of course, is still being played out. Schneider is of the opinion that the main traits of Germanic religious belief had already been established by the time of Tacitus. That is, that it had, by that time, reached its climax. Achform, as he expressed it, this does not mean the evidence from the Viking Age is to be entirely disregarded. A distinction, however, should be made between the religious belief of the Germanic people and the Romantic ideas that were added by the Scandinavian poets, a distinction which at times is difficult to make. The attitude towards the acceptability of the Icelandic poems as evidence of Germanic religious belief sways from one extreme to the other. Formerly and possibly under the influence of Romanticism, though poetic and the prose Edda were regarded as wells of information about religious ideas of the earlier centuries. Then came a reaction. A great deal of the contents of these works dealing with the gods and religious belief was explained as foreign matter which had been introduced into the Germanic North as a result of contact with the world of Christianity, mainly by way of Ireland, and also by contact with ideas and myths of the ancient world. This means that it had very little value for determining the religious beliefs of the pre-Christian or early post-Christian Iron Age. Proper attitude towards this material is a middle way, avoiding extremes. There is no doubt true that the poets of the Edda and the author of the prose Edda allowed their imaginations to have considerable amount of liberty and did a lot of embroidering. Yet, on the other hand, it's quite clear that these poets did not invent Wudang or many of the beliefs associated with the Wudang worship. Religious beliefs and customs are very tenacious, and long after they're no longer felt as expressing the realities of belief, they continue to live as traditional forms and are explained as symbols or become part of the body of superstition. Often the gods of one age are the devils of the next. There are other sources upon which considerable reliance can be placed. In many cases, Roman soldiers of the Germanic origin erected some stone monuments upon which they wrote votive inscriptions to their gods. Some of the charms which have survived have given indication, such as the Merseburg charms. Then, too, the chronicles written in Latin dealing with the oral traditions and the migration sagas of the Germanic tribes contain valuable information. Caesar, in his passing remarks, Tacitus and Pliny and other Roman writers making mention of Germanic religions. In addition, there are many indications of German religious beliefs in the reports of the Christian missionaries and their condemnation of certain beliefs as superstition. In the confessional formulas to which the newly converted were required to subscribe, the beliefs were required to be abjured. Information is also to be found in the heroic ballads and epics which have survived in part or in whole, especially some epics such as the Anglo-Saxon Beowulf. These are written sources and belong for the most part to the post-Christian era. But in order to avoid the necessity of interpreting the preceding centuries entirely in the light of the following, we require a guide to the prevailing belief of the pre-Christian era, from which time there is no written evidence. Some such evidence is to be found in the symbols imprinted on the pottery, engraved on bronze artifacts, or scratched on rocks. Suantes and others have supplied valuable interpretations of meanings of symbols handed down from generation to generation by the makers of brooches, pottery, girdles, ornaments, and rock drawings throughout part of the Neolithic, the whole Bronze and Iron Age into the Viking period, and in many cases even beyond to the present. A result of the assimilation of two quite different cultures in the formation of the Germanic people was a mixture of two radically different religious schemes, sun worship, or the worship of the sky god on the one hand, and on the other, the more earthly, the more mysterious worship of Mother Earth, the Magna Mater. The religion of the sky god is to be found in more or less divine form among all Indo-European speaking peoples, and is in these cases associated with the patriarchal form of family organization. The religion of the sky god was introduced into Northern Europe by the Indo-European bearers of the corded ware culture. The native culture of North Europe was that of Northern megalith, a culture which, if not matriarchally organized, certainly showed signs of its influence. The mixture of these two radically different forms of religious belief can be traced in the use of the religious symbols during the Bronze Age, and it appears in certain manifestations and even into the Iron Age, and after being for many centuries a very great extent overshadowed and forced into the background by more dominating religion of the sky god, come decidedly into its own again in the Renaissance during the Viking Age. This had not been significantly stressed in the discussion of religious beliefs of Germanic peoples. It is because of this double origin of Germanic religious belief that a slightly different interpretation is here given to some of the symbols than is customary. In other words, there are reasons for believing that we have symbols of what may be called the submerged religion, that of the Earth Mother. And so as you can see, this is going to be quite difficult. So I will break it up into little short sections. So this is a very important part, you know, understanding the religious beliefs, but of course the fact that our only really written records come from the Romans early on. And of course after the Christians come in, then they're manipulating them a little bit. So we'll see what happens next. We'll continue on with the religion. Now the source for this, the Germanic people, their origin, expansion, and culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.